Now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's talk hookup. Get ready for more of the best fishing information and the hottest tips on improving your angling skills. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Yamaha Outboards. Reliability starts here. Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Shimano Rods and Reels. Fish with the best. Shimano. And by Rancho Leonero, where your wildest Baja dreams come true. And now, Southern California's sports fishing voice, the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray and Rock Cod Rick Maxa.
Welcome back. Hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090. Pete Gray here with Rock Cod Rick Maxa in the Mighty 1090 studios with Charles Villafana from NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. How many times do you have to say that?
I just say NOAA.
Yeah. NOAA, yeah. Indeed. They are the federal government entity that keeps an eye on keeping our fisheries healthy.
That's for sure.
And among other things, there's a lot of other things that NOAA does, right?
Yeah, the weather. NOAA is our larger agency, and then I work for National Marine Fisheries Service, which is one of our sub agencies.
It's a sub agency of NOAA.
And then Weather Service, National Weather Service, is one of our sister agencies, different line office. Sanctuaries is another office. Satellite Service, NESDIS. A couple others.
Wow.
That's crazy.
So there's a lot of stuff going on.
No yeah. Doubt.
So you're actually, so that NOAA's like the mothership, and then like your National Marine Fisheries,
right.
And then all these other little
right.
sub things, and all the weather, right. weather things that we utilize
sure.
every day in our
right.
lives as fishermen,
yeah.
that's all federal government stuff.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Are they building that just for fishermen?
Seems like it.
Let's just say yes. There's another, yeah, there's another entity in there too. But in the meantime, speaking of weather, it's cleaning up, and hopefully the fishery's going to rebound. Let's find out what's biting.
You do, man. We got it. It's time for the catch report today, sponsored in part by Fisherman's Processing in San Diego. Get the finest fish processing while you wait from your local, your long range, or your private boat trip. They've taken the San Diego processing business to all new levels with the superior service and the superior product. They've also got great innovations like being able to pre-book your processing order before you go on your trip. And Pete, I know you did that with the Royal Star. Like, they'll yep. be ready to go with what you want to do with your fish before the boat ties back up at the landing. It also allows you to be the first one to have your fish cut and then the first one back on the road. They also have great options now, like the tuna jerky, smoked fish, and those all-new tuna burgers. You can friend them on Facebook at Fisherman's Processing, or for even more information, just go to their website at fishermansprocessing.com.
I'll tell you how important that is on this trip, Rick. We fly home on Sunday the 26th.
Okay.
The boat comes back on that following Wednesday. On Thursday morning, I leave for Mazatlan to do the live broadcast with the Sport Fishing Association of
sure.
California. However, we'll be eating fresh Royal Star tuna or Wahoo on Wednesday night.
That same night.
Thanks
same night you get back.
Pre-booking and their same-day service.
There you go.
How about that?
And
huh?
whether it's a trip or it's work or it's vacation or it's I've got to get on the road and get home and I need my fish shipped back to me, whatever it is, they are the most accommodating people in the business.
They are.
No doubt
there.
About it.
And Mark Wish from Pacific Edge with our fishdope.com report. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Pete. Good morning, Rick.
Hi, Mark.
Hey. So I'm going to wrap this report up with a little story that I think is going to give you a chuckle, so just bear with me here. So last weekend, now, everybody was all fired up about that bluefin, that good grade of bluefin that showed up right off San Diego from as close as the 9 to the 182 and out beyond that a little bit. But unfortunately, this week we had that little storm, only a few showers, but limits of wind, enough wind this time around to roll the water for us, so all up and down the coast. But it's getting right again, and they're going to be back up, and pretty interesting scenario for this time of year. There's fish caught as far up as the 181, at least I know of, and then fish seen all the way up inside the Catalina Channel here, so bodes very well for the future. At San Clemente Island, some new schools, that yellowtail moved in there a bit full speed yesterday, small to mid-grade fish, not too many of them jumbos around, but best area was backside east, some in the cove proper, China Ridge, and then up to the windmill like that. Just a lot of fish yesterday, really biting good. Santa Barbara Island, virtually no pressure. But for the adventurous, a smart captain might stop at the west end of Catalina on the inside there, make a little bit of that squid, and then run up there. Persistent rumors of yellows and sea bass there at the little island. At Catalina, the weather that got the bite just about everywhere, you know, got put the hurt on some of that Farnsworth Bank yellowtail, but they're starting to bounce back again, and that fish is scattered all over the whole island, really. East End proper, Orange Rock, Salta Verde down east there, and then up to the west, Pedestal Rock, the outside rock at Cape Cortez, Whale Rock proper, and West End High Spot off has some good signal on that yellowtail. Squid around the island is tough. There is a little bit to be made, mostly on the front. Best way to do that is pull a drift out in the deeper water, 20 to 25 fathoms, and then keep moving when the seals get too bad. There's this horrible seal pressure at that island right now. And then on the beach, just a trickle of that bigger sea bass around, mostly being caught on mackerel on the edge of the kelp lines. And then the best news, big yellow still biting out there on the 150. Looks like also a new bunch of fish moved in. Nice grade. I got a beauty Eastern morning out there in bad weather for you. I had to come in for the rest of the day. But good fishing to be had. So here's another little interesting tidbit, Pete. I heard that caller just before the break that called about the tuna pens.
Yeah.
And, well, it's an interesting story. They're not tuna pens. They're going to be albacore pens. There were going to be four of them. And they were going to feed it the fish with meat byproducts from the packing industry. So when I was reading that article, I'm just thinking, boy, this is like cutting edge, really something different. But then when you kept reading to the end of the article, guess what? It's the April issue, guys.
Ah, it was an April Fool's joke. Huh?
Yeah, that's funny.
They did a great job, man. I'm reading that thinking, what the heck are they talking about?
Oh, very good. Pulled one over on them.
Yep.
that's good, Mark. Well, of course,
that's funny.
Staying in touch. Looks like a great week of weather coming up here, and that means rebounding of some pretty phenomenal fishing there. And the only way to keep track of it, the best way to keep track of it, is on fishdope.com. I know you report and a lot of other top fishermen in Southern California report the scene from basically from Santa Monica Bay all the way into Mexican waters. And if you want to save $20 on a fishdope.com membership, it's an annual membership, a one-year membership. It's good. You buy it today, it's good for a full year. $20 off, annual membership. Use the code HOOKUP1090, all one word, no space, lowercase, HOOKUP1090, and that will take you right there to get that $20 off. And how do we find you, Mark?
Pete, we're in Huntington Beach on the corner of Bolsa Chica and Edinger. Phone number at the store is 714-840-4262. The website, PacificEdgeTackle.com, where we're featuring another new tank to solve your problem.
Oh, there you go. Check it out.
Yeah. I like that.
I like it.
How about real quick, Mark, we had a caller asking about some area that may have been opened up at San Clemente. Is that anything that you were familiar with? Kind of took us all...
Or another April Fool's joke.
Yeah.
You know, I heard that, and I don't know that they opened up any areas. I think I think you guys covered that question quite nicely with your answers, you know, but maybe what they're doing is I think the Navy has backed off a little bit on chasing guys out of that area up around the 9.
Oh,
so,
okay.
You know, it could possibly be that. You know, I had the good luck to have a tour of Clemente about 5 or 6 years ago. I spent a weekend on the island, and I stood right on that 50 caliber range right up there west, and that range where they test 50 calibers and 20 millimeter something or the others goes right across the 9, so I can see why they don't want you hanging out there.
Yeah, probably a good call.
Good reason, yeah, indeed.
Yeah.
All right, Mark.
Thanks,
well, that's
Mark.
Good advice from a guy that spends a lot of time at San Clemente Island there, so that's probably what it is.
I would think so.
Very good, Mark. Appreciate that. We'll talk to you next Saturday.
Okay, you got it.
All right.
See you, Mark. All right, let's head on down now to San Diego, over to C4 Sport Fishing. Talk to our buddy Marcos. Marcos, what's going on there at C4?
Good morning. How are you guys doing today?
Doing great. How's the fishing?
Well, beyond a little bit of weather in the middle of the week there, which kind of slowed us down a bit, it's pretty much back to normal now. San Diego's still running those three-quarter-day trips down the coast there. They had 67 yellowtail yesterday, the half-day, a lot of rockfish reds. Earlier in the week, they actually on Thursday, they had 8 yellowtail in the afternoon, some 20-pounders in there, and some bottom fish also. So definitely showing some extra signs of life there. We're running twilight trips again, Friday, Saturday nights. Last night they went out there. They had a pretty good trip. 8 anglers had 38 rockfish, a couple reds, 8 sculpin. So lots of options for you. Like you said, the weather's getting back to normal here. We had a little bit of weather blow through there, but looking nice out there now. Check the website, seaforthlanding.com. Half day, three-quarter day. We have some day and a half around the weekends. We have those twilight trips, lots of options. Like we've been talking about here, it's been a great year so far, and we just look for it to continue here.
Yeah, you know, and the fish are there. It's just a matter of having the right weather, which is coming.
Yep.
And getting on the right boat. So
you have your options there. If you want the bottom fish, go home, make some fish tacos, have a barbecue, head out on the half day. If you want to shout out those yellowtail that we've been seeing all year here, it's been great yellowtail fishing, three-quarter day. Those overnight trips, still going out there looking around, maybe getting some more of that bluefin, and it's just going to get better from here on out.
It's amazing how consistent Captain Ryan Bosch and the boys on that San Diego have been at getting those yellows. It's just trip after trip after trip. There's been phenomenal fishing, and so crazy to see it that good this early in the year.
Oh, yeah, and that's, like I said, that started back in, you know, January there, beyond the short period they took for boat work there. They've been catching it all year. Doesn't look like it's slowing down. Sounds like a lot of things are working out there. If you have yo-yo irons, if you want to throw surface irons, bait, sounds like it's all working right now.
Indeed. We'll take it. Certainly great fishing going on, Marcos. One more time, give us a phone number and let us know if somebody wants to book a trip, how we do it.
Check the website, seaforthlanding.com. Our full schedule's up there for the half days, the twilights, three-quarter days, those longer trips, some two-day trips for later in the season, some longer trips up there also. You can see that full schedule online. You can make your reservations directly online. You can give us a call at the office, 619-224-3383. Be more than happy to get you guys set up and get you out there fishing.
Right on. Great report, Marcos. Great wrap-up. Appreciate that. We'll look forward to talking to you next week.
We'll talk to you then.
Thanks, Marcos.
All right, thanks. That wraps up our catch report. I want to mention some great shows lined up here. Tomorrow, Captain Brandon Hayward from One Man Charters in the Bite Journal. Brandon, of course, is full speed heading into sea bass season. Sea bass season without squid this year. Well,
If you want,
he already caught one.
I was going to say,
I had a chunk. I ate some.
If you want to fish, if you want to get a sea bass, now it becomes so much more important to be familiar with that fish, kelp lines, mackerel, conditions, current. It's not the same as parking on a big glob of squid and wait for those things to come to you. You got to go get them. That's the guy to make it happen.
So that's tomorrow morning, 7 to 9 a.m., right here on the Mighty 1090. And then next weekend, next Saturday, I'll be aboard his boat, but Captain Tim Ekstrom will be here with Ricky in the Mighty 1090 studio next Saturday, and hopefully I'll be calling you with a great report from the Royal Star from wherever we are, Buffer Zone, Hurricane Bank, wherever we leave on Wednesday afternoon, so by that time we will be at our destination, wherever it may be for our 11-day Royal Star trip. And then next Sunday, of course, Day at the Docks. Big day. We'll be talking to Catherine Miller tomorrow on the show, more about Day at the Docks and what's going on there. Ricky's going to have, among others, Steve Carson. And the nice thing about the Day at the Docks live broadcast down there next Sunday, a week from tomorrow, is it's a variety show.
Yeah,
you can just grab somebody from one of the booths and say, come on over here and talk.
Yeah, I know. Last year we talked with Captain Benny Florentino, a bunch of the sport fishing boat captains. I remember Buzz was coming by, and that's the cool thing about it. Everybody setting up their booths and, hey, come over here. Well, you know, what's going on with this? And it's a really fun show.
And with a good week of weather and potentially great fishing this next week, I'll bet there's going to be a lot to report.
And I will just say this. I know we have a very cool prize for those people who are going to be coming out and want to ask a question live on the stand-up microphone. There'll be a good opportunity for you to do that too.
Oh yeah, there's no doubt about that. One issue about Day at the Docks, and we'll talk about it tomorrow, is going to be parking because the construction on Harbor Drive is full speed ahead.
Right.
We live it every day because our offices are right there.
Yes,
and it's not pretty, and it's going to be a very, very difficult situation for not only vendor parking but also for visitor parking, but they have the shuttle from Shelter Island.
And Catherine will tell us all about that.
Yeah, she'll tell us all about that, but there'll be a shuttle there coming from Shelter Island. But just be aware that Harbor Drive is a mess.
I know there.
And it's getting better, and it's going to be better, but it's not right now.
The one thing I'll give those guys credit for is they are moving on that. You know,
a lot of times
you see projects like that, and it seems like they drag their heels and they take forever. Like, and those guys are really moving fast, and I know they're trying to get everything done by the summertime when, you know, well, we would normally say when the fish are here, which obviously this year is it's already here, but I know they're trying to get it before the real busy part of the summertime, trying to get everything wrapped up.
Making great,
like you said, it's a mess.
It's a mess, but and they're making great progress,
and
it's going to be way better than it ever was once they finish it.
No doubt about that.
Watch for that.
All right. Well, let's jump back into the phones because I know they're packed. Everybody wants to talk to Charles. How about we jump back into the phones and talk to Dan, who's calling us from San Diego this morning. Hi, Dan. Welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, Charles, Pete, and Rick. How are you guys doing today?
Great.
Dan?
Good. Hey, I wanted to thank you, Pete and Rick, very much for the Fish and Mission trip you guys sent me on.
Ah,
nice.
Yeah, I went yesterday. And went out with Ken and Afshin, Bailey, and Hayden. They're all really good guys. Afshin's a terrific guide. And those guys, they really know Mission Bay. They know the bottom of it with their fish finders. And I thought it was a really good trip. It was excellent to learn how to use those pedal Hobies. I've never used one of those before.
What'd you think?
I liked it a lot. It was a great trip. I mean, I liked the boats. They're stable. You can stand up in them. Way different than the old ones that I was used to. They give you good tackle. I think it's a Penn Battle reel with some braid on it. They give you some war bait, weedless lead heads, and plastics to take home. Snacks, lunch, good safety briefing, well organized. I caught a really nice spotted bay bass, and then I caught another smaller one. I think everybody had a good time.
Right on, Dan.
It's a great event, and you don't need any experience because the guides are so good, right, Dan?
Yeah, and the equipment's really easy to use, and just from the boats down to little tips on casting, and yeah, everybody had a great time. I don't think anybody had any problems.
That's great. Glad you enjoyed it. Are you hooked on kayak fishing now?
Yeah, I'm definitely going to investigate it further. I was blown away with what you could do with it, and it takes a little bit of practice and creativity, but it's kind of neat to be able to pedal and keep yourself in one spot in the current or to move slowly while you're casting. It's a whole different, completely different situation than kayaking with an oar or
paddle
in your hand.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Once you go with the Mirage Drive, it's hard to
go
back. And I know Ron and the guys down at Fastlane Kayak sold out of all of their Fishing Missions already. So if he didn't get in, he told me he's going to add some to the schedule. So I wouldn't even if it's sold out, give him a call down there at Fastlane Kayaks and sign up because, like Dan, you won't be sorry, right?
Well, I have to say, Ron and all the guys down there—they're all very polite, nice, professional, helpful. Everything was Ron's wife. Everything was great. It was really, really neat.
Fantastic. Well, thanks for the report. Appreciate that, Dan. Glad you got a chance to go out on Fishing Mission. Let's go live to the Royal Polaris right now. We have Captain Roy Rose on the line. Good morning, Roy.
Good morning. Good morning, Ed. How you guys doing in there?
Hey, we're doing great, Roy. But looking at your website, you're doing way better than we are.
Yeah, we're it was pretty busy. Yeah, this morning wasn't as busy as it was yesterday and the day before. We had a first day we rolled in here, and we picked up 38 fish for the day. Biggest one, 231. We had three over two that way. The bulk of the fish, I call it, like 135 to 170, 180, like that. A lot of 150, 160-pound fish. We did lose a few nice ones in the dark. Obviously, fishing skipjack, puffer fish, stuff like that. And then that night after we got done getting our bait, about 11 o'clock, they started biting again, and we ended up with 56 fish yesterday. Three more over two. And, it's pretty hectic there.
Night bite,
anyway,
right?
This morning we had 10 fish. Yeah, we had to throw a bunch of bait on the side, and we had to get another well ready. So we're good and we're doing good in that respect. As you can tell, I'm a little tired here. We're all a little tired. But anyway, it's much welcomed.
Yeah, I get. Now this is the 12-day fly down, fly back aboard the Royal Polaris, and I know you have John Petty, jeweler extraordinaire that you see at the Fred Hall shows, and his young 15-year-old daughter, Mia, on her first long-range trip. And we saw the pictures. Tell us about Mia. Little Mia, what does she weigh? Soaking wet, maybe 80 pounds, 90 pounds?
Yes. In fact, we have a little tradition here. A personal best, you get wiped out with the hose. They douse you with the hose, and the other day, she got nailed three times. Her first biggest one was like a 50-pound fish, something like that. And then a little later, she got a 140-pounder. And then later on in the afternoon, after she took another shower to dry off, she knocks out a 231. And That was awesome.
That's so
He's
cool.
running out of clothes.
Yeah. yeah. No cool. kidding. What's next? And she is, I mean, you look at those pictures on the website, Royal Polaris. Sportfishing.com, and Mia's just a
so
sweetheart,
rad.
And her dad, John Petty, of course, is a great friend and just a super guy, and he was so excited to take his daughter fishing on this trip, and it certainly paid off thanks to you and the boys aboard the Royal Polaris.
Oh, yeah, no, she's hooked. He's got himself a fishing partner there for life. She's liking it for sure. She got one this morning about 80 pounds.
Jeez, that's so cool.
And that's it. She's back there right now soaking the bait. We're not catching nothing, but she's back there mixing it up with the boys for sure.
Very
that's
good.
That's awesome, right?
Well, any spots coming available? I know there was one possible aboard the Royal Polaris. Anything coming up, Roy?
Yeah, there's actually two spots left on that SD Long Range. That's our 15-day ride down, ride back. And that, I believe, we leave the 24th. The 24th, we leave on that. And like I said, it's a ride down, ride back, and it'll make it kind of nice not having to go into Cabo and all that. We could just come straight down here. We just got Bill McKnight. Stand by! but anyway.
There you go.
Shoot, I'm sorry. I'm looking at the fish.
we'll
cool,
let you
Roy.
Get back to work.
Get to work.
On live
couple
from,
spots on it. It's the 24th right down, right back.
All right. We'll
so
call
cool.
the Royal Polaris office, or you can actually book right online, RoyalPolarisSportFishing.com. Live from Hurricane Bank, about 1,000 miles from San Diego, out in the middle of the Pacific. That's what first time I was on Hurricane Bank on the Royal Polaris, that's what Steve Loomis told me. You're in the middle of the Pacific right here, boy. And that's for sure. Thanks a lot, Roy. We appreciate that, and I look forward to your next report.
You guys, let's get at it. You might start whining, Deke.
That's so cool.
How about that, huh?
They're biting.
They're biting. Yeah
cool.
Indeed. All right, let's go ahead and jump into the phone.
You got it. Well, they're jam-packed. We're going to jump right back into the phone. Talk to Bob, calling from Santee this morning. Hi, Bob. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Bob.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
What's up, Bob?
Great show this morning. Just an amazing amount of information.
Yeah,
it's
thanks.
It's just crazy. My question is, they've been catching bluefin almost all year out here, and I just wondered if the species of bluefin out here are the same as the ones on the East Coast that get up to 1,500 pounds, but you rarely hear of fish on the Pacific side weighing any more than around 250 pounds.
They are, this is Charles, they are a different species, the Atlantic and Pacific bluefin. So ours, particularly on the West Coast here, don't get anywhere near that 1,000-pound range.
What's the biggest you've heard of a Pacific bluefin?
I think up into the sixes.
600.
But not,
still a big fish.
Still big fish. Yeah, they get big. But.
Can you land that fish on a rod and reel? Because, of course, where they're landing these 1,000-pound fish, it's shallow, basically, mm-hmm. for us. But we have the continental shelf here. To deal with where it's thousands of feet deep. Is it possible to land a 600-pound bluefin on a rod and reel?
I think you need a big reel.
You need a big, get a bigger reel, as they say, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'd like to give it a shot, man.
Yeah,
sounds good to me.
Bad. Hey,
me
Bob,
too.
Thanks a lot for the call this morning.
How about next up, we talked to Tom, calling us from San Diego this morning. Hi, Tom. Welcome to the show.
Well, good morning. Actually, I believe there is a record 700-plus-pound bluefin, Pacific bluefin caught by a commercial boat or something. My question is, when we had the latest go-arounds on the Pacific bluefin hearings, and this was, I think, held several places and wound up in Seattle or someplace, I believe that NOAA was relying primarily on one scientific study conducted by, I think, a woman from Pew that had claimed the bluefin were down to 4% of traditional or whatever all-time highs. What happens when you have a hearing or something of that event and there's only one scientific study? I mean, how do you validate that or take that into consideration versus what else might be out there, such as eyewitnesses from a lot of the sport boat captains that flew up there to tell you that they've never seen so many bluefin?
So one of the ways we get stock assessments and we work with our stock assessment in general is multiple indices of abundance. So we track landings and size in different areas over a long time series. And you have another method of, you have logbooks that you look at, and you have fish tickets, and you have, sport landings estimates, and you have, aerial surveys, and you have, egg abundance and various things. So you take all of those together, and each one of them in and of themselves gives you a partial picture. Together, you line all those, indices up, and you get a more moderated picture of what's actually going on. And that's really the type of information we really rely on for a stock assessment.
And in the big picture, what is the percentage of bluefin caught by U.S. commercial versus the percentage of bluefin caught over in the far eastern Pacific by the countries over there, relatively speaking?
We're on the eastern Pacific.
Or the western Pacific.
So the western Pacific catches quite a bit more. I don't know the percentages offhand, but quite a bit more of the fish is caught in the west. The east it's low compared to the west, but both Mexico and the U.S. catch quite a bit of bluefin on the eastern side.
Still a significant amount.
Yeah, it's still significant, but it is lower than what's caught on the west.
There you go. Thanks a lot for the call this morning.
All right. Hey, when we come back, we got a lot more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way. More of your phone calls. First time we've had an open phone line the entire show. If you want to talk to Charles, 858-457-1090. That's your chance right now. More Let's Talk Hookup coming your way on the Mighty 1090.
My line in the water.
The Sport Fishing Association of California is taking a leadership role to broaden the fishing opportunities for Southern California anglers. And Saturday, May 2nd, Pete Gregg will be traveling to Mazatlan, Mexico with the president of SAC, Captain Ken Frank, and his staff to host a very important live broadcast from the El Cid Hotel and Resort in Mazatlan. The broadcast will feature some key personnel from Mexico Fisheries and help strengthen the ties with the sport fishing fleet in Southern California and Mexico. They will also discuss the great fishing opportunities available in Mazatlan. SAC's mission is to promote tourism through marine recreation and educational activities while protecting ocean resources. By working together with Mexico, we can show our care for the resources, both at home and across the border, and our desire to take an active role to help protect the future of our fisheries. So mark your calendar for Saturday, May 2nd, a very special live broadcast from Mazatlan, Mexico, with the Sport Fishing Association of California. Check californiasportfishing.org for more information.
This is Rick Jensen with the Sport Fishing Financial Group. I wanted to let you know that I'll be at Day of the Dock Sunday, April 19th, to meet and talk to you about getting aboard one of our six-pack charters. I've been working in the financial industry for over 25 years and my family fishing our local waters for four generations. We're poised to have a banner fishing season, and spending time aboard one of our fully outfitted offshore suites is great. So stop by my booth at Day of the Docks and see how I can improve the service of your personal or business finances and become part of the Sport Fishing Financial Group. Give us a call at 949-481-1807 or check us out on the web at sportfishingfinancialgroup.com.
Cast Tours is a family-owned and operated travel company that specializes in taking you to great fishing destinations. They take pride in providing the best and most affordable vacation packages available. For over 20 years, Cast Tours has been creating unique sport fishing and vacation trips. Whether it's a fishing trip, a family vacation, or an adventure, they will provide you the service and value you deserve. Call Cast Tours at 800-593-6510 or check casttours.com.
Hey, Seaguar fans, the wait is over for premium quality pink fluorocarbon leader material. Seaguar Pink Label is made from the same proprietary process and exclusive Seaguar resins you trust. Seaguar Pink Label is soft and supple, yet provides superior knot and tensile strength. In fact, it has 30% better knot strength than competitive fluoro lines. A portion of the proceeds from the sale of Pink Label will be donated to the National Breast Cancer Foundation, Inc. Get Seaguar Pink Label leader material at your favorite tackle dealer. To learn more, visit Seaguar.com.
It's Fred Hall show time. Hi, this is Doug Kern from Fisherman's Landing Tackle, the saltwater tackle professionals. Be sure to stop by the Fisherman's Landing Tackle booth. You'll find the most complete selection of saltwater tackle at the show, including a great selection of Guy Harvey and AFCO clothing for kids and adults. Wovens, t-shirts, a giant selection of kids clothing. Also, AFCO belts, harnesses, and fishing gloves. The Fisherman's Landing Tackle staff has used AFCO gear and knows your needs. Come see our best booth ever. Fisherman's Landing Tackle, a must visit at this year's Fred Hall Show.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090.
All right. Hey, I want to remind you, be sure to check out our website, hookup1090.com. Great, great stuff this week. Check out that feature photo.
So cool.
Steve B won the Bill Varnay Cousins Rod on the show for our Christmas show. Then he took it down to Ensenada and caught a really nice Corbina there right off the beach. So nice shot there
on
our feature photo of the week. Of course, we have Chef Charles' famous fish taco recipe on the angler's table there. And then go to the trips page at hookup1090.com and check out all the different trips that are coming up. And things are happening on our trips page. We've got the Shimano Let's Talk Hookup on the Water seminar coming up. Of course, the first trip of the Some Fun out of Dana War Sport Fishing on May 16th is already sold out. But we do have a few spots left on the Islander kayak trip, day and a half trip on the Islander out of Fisherman's Landing there. You book that through Fisherman's Landing Tackle. And then the Freedom trip booked through Big Fish Bait and Tackle there has spots available on it, and that's going to be June the 20th. A full list of our Shimano Let's Talk Hookup on the Water seminars, all of our Join Us trips are on there, as well as the Angler Management trips, which Bob is out on one today with our listeners at the Coronado Anglers on his Angler Management 26-foot Scout. All those trips are listed on our website, hookup1090.com, on the trips page, but please book early because these trips are going to sell out very, very quickly. Let's go ahead and jump back in the phones.
You got it. You're going to talk to Hills. Hills is calling us from Ventura this morning. What's up, Hills? Thanks for joining us on Let's Talk Hookup.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Hi, Hills.
Hey, so I wanted to ask two questions, but I wanted to speak in a thing about the sea lions. Like, I think the Marine Mammal Protection Act mandates that nobody get within like 10 feet of them and touch them, but then the rescuers go and like net them and put them in a dog kennel. It's like, that doesn't seem right, I think. But the other thing is, I was going to ask Charles, are there still drift gill nets and long line fishing along our coast? And if so, like, how far out can they fish? I caught a really weird fish in Ventura, and I was going to ask Charles if he could identify it. A black and white vertical striped kind of perch thing that was, I've never seen, and I didn't want to hurt it, so I let it go, before I could take a photo or anything.
So it looked like a perch?
Could be a sargo, maybe?
Sargo.
Well, maybe it was a sargo. It was real vivid black and white vertical stripe.
Yeah.
With a small downturned mouth.
I bet it was a zebra perch.
Yeah.
Could be a zebra perch.
Mm-hmm. Could be zebra perch. Yeah, that's a possibility as well. Multiple stripes or just a single stripe?
No, it was like about 10 stripes across.
Ricky's showing me a picture of that. Check it out on, where did you find that picture?
I just typed in zebra perch into Google, just assuming that.
Had you caught one of
those
before? Is that why you knew it was a zebra perch?
I think I've caught one before.
I just knew that had to be
what it was.
So check that out, Hills. Google zebra perch, and that could be your fish.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks a lot for the call this morning. You know, the issue of the Sea Lion Rescue and SeaWorld doing all these rescues. You hear it a lot. People say, well, why don't they just let nature take their course and let these baby pups die on the beach? Why can't we do that?
So part of it is just that we can't, you know, we'll keep getting calls about these animals on the beach. We have a pretty extensive network called this Marine Mammal Stranding Network. And the people that are going down and are taking these animals into rehab are trained by NOAA. They are acting under NOAA authority and with authority of NOAA to do this rescue. SeaWorld is a team. The Marine Mammal Center have teams, some of these others. So these are not just anybody off the street going down and rescuing seals. They are people with
professionally trained.
There are people with training. There are people with training.
Yeah.
A lot of these same people are people that will go and help disentangle whales when we have whales entangled in fishing gear and things like that. So they are a trained group of people. And really, it's a pretty small number of animals related.
Even 500 that they rescued this year.
Related to the overall population.
Yeah, it's a tiny number.
And something we do get out of it is a lot of health information about the animals, what's going on out in the ocean, and looking for, what disease, what information, or what's causing these strandings, what's causing this activity. So we are able to get some of that information off of these animals.
What have you guys ascertained with all of the sea lions that have been happening recent? You know, you see all these super baby pups kind of everywhere, and way more sea lions stranded on the beach and on docks. And I mean, we're even seeing them down, you know, at the landing now.
Jump on my swim step.
Yeah, I've been there, you know, since I was 15 and never seen this like we're having it right now.
Yeah, so I'm looking at some numbers. We've got on our
keep
website.
Off the swim step too. That's
yeah. Easy way to do that is and I think it's legal, is you can just turn your freshwater hose on. They hate freshwater. That'll get them off your swim
you
step
go.
Very quickly.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh. On our website, we have our protected resources folks are every week putting out an update information on the unusual mortality event that's going on with sea lions. So you can check that out. The document I'm looking at is 2015 Elevated California Sea Lion Strandings in California FAQ. So there's a lot of pretty thorough information there about how this year compares to other years and some good answers to a lot of questions there.
Is it on the rise this year, or is it just happening more local to our area so we're more aware of it?
Looks to be quite a few more than okay. normal for this year.
I find it amazingly ironic that SeaWorld, that's doing a lot of this work and out of their budgets and such like that, doing this recovery, is being so attacked by the organizations that would be right there trying to help these baby pup sea lions. And it's just, it's just so ironic that these organizations like PETA and Save the Animals and this and that attack a place like SeaWorld that does so much good for the marine environment. It's just kind of silly.
Crazy.
To me, absolutely silly. So anyway, that's my political.
I think sea lions are crazy, period. So
yeah.
I'm going to hold my comment.
Let's go ahead and move into something else.
Let's do that. How about we talk to John? Caught us from Upland this morning. What's up, John? Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Hi, John.
Again, John on that little delay there, it sounds like, this morning. Good morning, John.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you guys doing?
Great.
Good. Hey, I won a cousin. The Duralo raffle.
All right.
I'm pretty stoked because I never win anything.
Well, there you go.
New cousin's rod and the Friends of Rallo raffle. That's pretty cool. Congratulations.
Yeah, believe it or not, I bought this raffle ticket at the wild feeding game that they did last year in July at Irvine Lake.
Great.
Excellent.
So anyway, my question is, I also have a $50 gift card to Turner's, and I need to buy a reel to put on this rod.
There you go. What size rod is it?
It's a CLB 80, 8-foot, rated for 20 to 30-pound line.
Okay.
So a nice reel for 25-pound. There's a lot of good choices. I think if it were me right now and I was looking for a new 25-pound reel, I'd probably try that brand-new Shimano Torium 16HG, the brand-new redesigned Torium that got released at the Fred Hall show this year. I know that there's a lot more of them that are being shipped, and it's been a very difficult reel to get, but now I know we've received another shipment. I'm sure Turner's has done the same. They're starting to become available now, and that 16 size would be perfect for a 25-pound reel.
25-pound.
Yeah, 20 to 30, just like his rod is rated
for. Which is a great one for yellowtail fishing, for tuna fishing, for just a good all-around size. That 8-foot rod, 25-pound test, you can catch a lot of stuff.
Kind of everything.
Like
I mean, it's like you say, there's no such thing as an everything rod, but that'd be pretty darn close.
Not one you'd want to take on the Royal Polaris to Hurricane Bank, but certainly around the local waters here, you could catch pretty much everything.
Light enough to catch a calico bass, but still plenty of guts to go catch a bluefin or an albacore or that kind of thing offshore.
Hey, good luck. Enjoy the rod. Thanks a lot for the call this morning, and thanks again for supporting Friends of Rallo, too, because, of course, all those spin the wheels that everybody did at Fred Hall's shows raised a lot of money to take a lot of kids fishing this year, and we certainly thank you.
No doubt. How about next up on the phones, we talk to Dave, and Dave's calling us from Fountain Valley this morning. Hi, Dave. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Morning, Dave.
Hi, good morning, Pete, Rick, and Charles. How are you all today?
Very good.
Great.
Doing well.
Good. Hey, I got a question here. At the end of last summer, I hooked up my largest yellowtail, and then I had my first experience with the sea lion. He got the fish, but we were all hooked up together. Now, at that point in time, am I allowed to fight the fish and the seal together in a hopeful that he would maybe let it go for a second?
Absolutely. I've gotten some fish back from seals before, and you as soon as he lets go, just crank down on that thing, get it away from him quick.
One method I've used before, and it works pretty well, and they don't like it. You're on your own boat, I take it?
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
Is it a smaller boat?
Yeah, 30 foot.
30 foot. Okay, well, they don't like it when you start the engine and you do circles around them.
Right.
Okay.
And it,
right.
it stirs up the water, and a lot of times they'll let it go if you just start doing donuts around them. Have the angler stand in the corner with the fish and just start doing donuts around them, and many times they'll drop that fish.
Oh, nice, nice. Yeah, we were both stubborn and wouldn't let go for quite a while, so I just didn't know what legally I could do.
Yeah, I mean, you're not allowed to harass them, so but where's the line on harassment?
So it was on our website. Again, we have a sheet. If you go to search West Coast Region Recreational Fisheries, NOAA Recreational Fisheries, find that page, and on there we have a link to pinniped deterrence, and scroll up a bit there, Rick, and right in the right here, right in the middle here, potential methods for use by fishers to deter Pacific Harbor seals and California sea lions, and you must be actively fishing in order to deter sea lions. But one of the things on our list here is visual repellents and noise makers, and the first one on the list there is boat hazing and circling.
Oh, okay.
Exactly like Pete just described, is one of the sort of approved methods.
I think it
methods,
confuses
so.
Them, right? Would you say?
So yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're the simple guidance is you can't actually hurt them, but you actually give quite a bit of latitude to do some to try to get them away and scare them and make some noise.
Certainly no lasting damage things. But, I mean, I found that just by doing a quick Google search, it just typed in NOAA sea lion deterrence, and it was like the first thing
there.
That popped up.
Okay.
And
on the NOAA site.
And it lists the acceptable methods and the non-acceptable methods. You
so
know
what would be a non-acceptable method?
It was just right off the bat, just below what Charles was reading, there's just methods to avoid. The following methods and techniques have increased likelihood to cause injury, mortality, and should be avoided. No firearms, live ammunition, no devices with injurious projectiles, i.e. archery, crossbows, spear guns, or bang sticks, no shark or pointed objects, harpoons, and spears, no entangling devices, meaning loose webbing, snares, or wire, no aggressive tactile methods like striking the animals with bats or hammers, and no tainted baits or poisons. Those are all the listed non-acceptable.
Things that are not
methods,
acceptable.
Correct.
All right. Very good. All right. So you just can't shoot them.
And basically, and the acceptable methods, just to read down it real fast, were, like you said, boat hazing and circling, pounding on a hull, pyrotechnics where legal, starter pistols, horns, bells, whistles. Physical contacts include slingshot, non-toxic, water-soluble paintball guns, and non-lethal ammunitions.
Okay.
Or what the
non-lethal
the list,
ammunition would be like a rubber
bullet. They listed rubber bullets, sabot rounds, and game stingers. I don't know what that is, but that was just a list of acceptable and non-acceptable things on the website.
And keep in mind, also, this is in U.S. waters. Has nothing to do with Mexico.
You
so if you're at the Coronado Islands,
do not.
None of that
right.
comes into play.
And again, these only apply while you're fishing. So if that seal's following you around and your gear is not in the water, you're not fishing,
you cannot
harass or deter.
You cannot. Okay, so let me ask you this. A sea lion, a baby pup, sits on my swim step, and I don't want him there. Am I harassing him by spraying him with fresh water?
There's some things that boat owners can do as well, and I'm a little less familiar with exactly what can be done there.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things that you just,
Well, I mean, it seems like it seems acceptable. You're not hurting the animal, but you're not pushing him or using a projectile or anything. You don't want to touch the animal. I think you're not allowed to. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to give you the pass on that.
But you never know.
I think you're all right.
You know, you never know. You got to find out. Anyway, thanks, Ricky. I appreciate
it. You got
that.
It, buddy.
Thanks
no problem.
A lot for the call.
All right. How about next up, we jump back into the phones and talk to Randy, who's calling us from Costa Mesa this morning. Hi, Randy. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Well, good morning, guys. What a great and informative show today. It's been fun to listen to.
Thanks, Randy.
Hey, I got a question, and then I just wanted to make a comment about the tackle shop that you work at, Rick. I was down there with my wife on her private boat, and you gave me a lot of really good information about the Coronados, how to fish, and also how to take care of the FMM and permitting.
All right.
With the baggie.
Cool. Right on, Randy.
You know, putting your licenses and everything in the baggie and just handing it to them. When they stopped us, it was for like, I don't know, 3 or 4 minutes, you know. Just, it was an easy deal.
Well, that's awesome. I know that's the one thing that we've been doing. The enforcement, just for guys that don't know, is tenfold what it was. If you're going to the Coronado Islands, you will be checked. So the days of going without permits are not a thing anymore. Plenty of people flew under the radar, like, you will be checked. And we've been checked multiple times in the last couple of weeks. And what we do, what Randy's referring to, is but when we get on the boat, every person that gets on board when we get on in the morning, and this was from our friends over at Seasons, told us this the same thing, is we take a Ziploc bag, we put our passports, our Mexican fishing licenses, and our paid receipt for our visas and the boat registration in a Ziploc bag before we even start our trip. And then during the day, you know, and honestly nowadays it's when you get checked, not if. As soon as they come on board, we greet them politely and hand them the bag right off the bat. And
so you need to have, if you're on a private boat, you need to have a passport or passport card.
Correct.
The driver's license isn't going
to
work.
Well, I mean, to the letter of the law, you're correct. It doesn't work, but I can tell you that I know that people that have had just the driver's license have been just fine. But again,
some form of ID.
Yes.
Pardon me?
Driver's license.
Randy just had the driver's license.
You just had a driver's
and was
license.
Fine.
Okay. Right.
So, but I mean, it just shows that one, you're not trying to hide anything. You've obviously been there before, and the when we've done that, the process has been so fast and so painless. I mean, it truly was not a big deal. And Randy, I hope that was the case for you, and stoked to kind of hear that was the deal.
Yeah, it was really an easy deal. And then my question, my wife brought up this question when we were out there. If we left on a Mexican flag vessel and caught bluefin in Mexican waters, is that a legal catch? So in other words, in U.S. waters or in Mexican waters, a U.S. flag vessel is not allowed to keep and catch bluefin.
Right.
So if we left from, say, Ensenada on a Mexican flag boat and caught bluefin, would that be a legal catch, or is that there's no take of bluefin in Mexican waters?
You know,
I think there's no recreational take of bluefin in Mexican waters.
And I don't know for certain of a Mexican boat returning to a Mexican port, and that's not something we.
Yeah, that's a very
good question.
Though. Great question,
and that was something. If you're down at like the corral, I'd ask Fito Espinosa. He'd probably have a good answer for that. The dockmaster down there, he's pretty knowledgeable and probably have a good answer for that.
Okay, cool.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
Randy. For the call. Good luck. Thanks for the call.
All right. How about next up? We talked to Bernard, calling us from San Diego this morning. Hey, Bernard, welcome to the show.
Morning. Nice to talk, Pete and Rick. I have a question about. I'm in the market to buy a boat.
How big?
What do you recommend?
Well, how big a boat do you want? You want a trailer style boat? You want to have a boat that's in the water?
Trailer style.
Trailer style boat. Boy, there's a lot of choices to be made, and boy, there's everything in between. Like Rick, you fish off of a Triumph, which is a real kind of heavy duty. Good boat, center console.
Yeah, inexpensive boat. I think Sea Witch Marine has them, so it's a reliable source to go to and comfortable.
Yeah.
And it's a good boat. It's like we always joke that it's like one step nicer than an aluminum boat. It's that kind of care where it's very, very easy on the maintenance. You know, not as good of a ride as a heavier fiberglass boat, but a very capable boat, very easy and very efficient to ride.
Yeah.
All the way up to spending as much money as a guy wants to invest into creature comforts, just as a matter of budget and time, and figure out how much you want to spend, the things that you want to do, and whether you want more fishing space in a center console or a more comfortable, drier ride in a pilot house style boat. Lots of options to consider.
The other thing, too, is frills. How many frills do you want on the boat? Do you want a bunch of stuff on the boat, or do you just want a down and dirty, yeah. easy to clean, easy to take care of fishing boat. West
yeah,
Coast.
Yeah, that's what I'm in the market for.
Yeah, I mean, take a look at the Parkers then up at West Coast Marine up in, it's in Costa Mesa. But those boats are very nice. And I think is he coming today at the docks?
I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah. And if not, Kevin and those guys are very easy to find. Yeah. And you're right on that, Parker, that it's a comfortable boat with a good ride, but just they're very easy. They're very commercial-ish, you know, where there's just
not... Center console?
They have both center console walk-arounds and pilot cutties, houses.
Yeah, and then Sea Witch Marine, we mentioned them in Vista there. They have the Sea Swirl Stripers, which is a very nice boat. A few more creature comforts on it versus, like, they have the Triumphs as well as the Sea Swirl. The most important thing, in my opinion, before you lay the money down and go buy a boat is go take a ride on the ocean. And not a flat, calm ocean. Go out when it's sporty a little bit and see how that rides. Compare the rides with different boats and then make your decision.
I'll throw one more thing at you, too, and I know that there's a lot of great ones out there. I could never, and has nothing to do with their investment in the show, there's nothing better than a Yamaha outboard on any boat,
no
period.
Doubt
they
about
are
it.
The best, no question about it.
And I know when you buy a Parker or whether you buy a Sea Swirl or the Triumph, you're going to get the best power there is, and that's a Yamaha. You don't want to go anywhere else in the ocean. You're in a freshwater environment, okay. You know, there's other choices, but not in the marine environment. Yamaha's the choice.
I would not have a boat without a Yamaha.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks a lot. Good luck on your call there.
Hey, when we come back, we're going to find out what lucky guy's got himself a brand new pair of Maui Jims. More Let's Talk Hookup when we return on the Mighty 1090.
SRF 1090 AM Rosarito, Baja California.
You're listening to the home of the Padres.
Padres are playing some kind of baseball.
San Diego's sports leader, the Mighty 1090.
This is Captain Tim Ekstrom from the long-range vessel Royal Star. With my partners Randy Toussaint and Brian Sims, we have set the bar for the long-range fishing experience. A spring 8-day, summer 5-day, or a fly-down, fly-back 11-day winter trip, we deliver the highest quality long-range voyage you will find. From our premium RSW fish storage to our top-of-the-line chefs and crew, Royal Star distinguish itself from all others. Want to grab a spot on the Royal Star? Check us out at RoyalStarSportFishing.com or call Tracy at 619-224-4764.
Fish and Mission is the best way to get involved in the growing sport of kayak fishing. And Fast Lane Kayaks in Mission Bay will host this great event every Sunday in April and May. Now you can take part in a kayak fishing trip with a professional guide and a top-of-the-line, fully outfitted 2015 Hobie Mirage Drive kayak. And kids are welcome too. A 5-hour fully guided kayak fishing trip on Mission Bay, including use of the latest model Hobie kayak, fishing gear, and more. It's Fish and Mission with Fast Lane Kayaks in Mission Bay. Easy to sign up online at fastlanesailing.com or call 619-222-0766. Sign up soon. They will sell out.
For Rancho Leonero, here's John Ireland.
We're real proud of the food. The food is very good at the ranch. Jennifer and Jeannie is down at the ranch. We eat almost every meal in the ranch ourselves. So we're going to be the biggest critics for sure. It's like home, very much so. We make sushi for the guests if they catch tuna or dorado. We have a Rancho Leonero sushi that we put together with onions and chilies. It's just awesome that the guests really, really enjoy. And we'll also cook fish, too. We have a mesquite barbecue that's very flavorful. And that's going every night for whatever the regular entree we're serving. So we're cooking fish every night for guests. Nothing like having a fish that you caught the same day. I caught a big pargo the other day. Stuff them with onions, tomatoes, and all kinds of good stuff. And you'll always find one or two of those normally, too. Because we're that size, we can serve a better quality meal as well. RanchoLeonero.com. It's very special.
Great boats, free parking, and a fully stocked tackle shop. Just a few of the reasons Seaforth Sport Fishing is a favorite among anglers. Come aboard top charter boats like the Aztec, Cortez, Endeavor, Eclipse, Apollo, Outer Limits, Pacific Star, Elgato Dos, Alexis, Pride, Privateer, Tribute, Pacific Voyager, and the Voyager. Plus, the new Seaforth Sea Watch in San Diego offer the finest half, three-quarter, and full-day trips available. Check out the full-service tackle store at Seaforth Sport Fishing. And it's all run by fishermen for fishermen. 1717 Quivira Road, just off Mission Bay Drive in Mission Bay. Book online at seaforthlanding.com.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090. Right, the big winner of a brand new pair of Maui Jim Twin Fog sunglasses is going to Goldie in North Park. Goldie, congratulations. You're going to love those glasses.
Indeed. And sure want to thank Charles Villafana from NOAA
awesome,
for coming
Charles.
In. Charles, you're always a wealth of knowledge. And thank you for your duties that you do for sport fishermen and being a sport fisherman yourself, helping preserve our chances to go sport fishing in California and U.S. waters. Appreciate it very much.
Thanks for having me on.
One thing that we didn't cover that we should have covered, and we're not going to have time to cover it extensively, is the new fillet regulation for tunas, right?
Yeah, so we're in the proposed rule stage right now. So sometime soon, the bag limit on bluefin is going to be changing to two fish in U.S. waters.
Like how soon?
Probably sometime in May.
Okay.
We don't have a date for sure yet. Okay. But along with that, as part of the new differing bag limits, all tunas in south of Point Conception are going to have new fillet requirements, and that's basically that you're going to take the four loins, the collar with both pectoral fins on it, and the belly with the anal vent and the pelvic fin intact.
Really?
And all six of those pieces in one bag from the same fish, labeled with the common name of the fish.
So whether it's a yellowfin, albacore, bluefin,
skipjack, or even Rick's new big eye.
really?
So any of those, and it's pretty straightforward. Like I said, the four loins, the collar with the pectoral fins, and then the
belly. Okay, so if you fillet on your boat, that's what you'll need to do, or bring the whole fish in and give it to fishermen.
That's what I'm going to be doing.
And you're still no problem whole fish. You're still no problem gut and gill. Those are still allowed. So,
okay. All right.
And it's really right. Fish is an identifiable condition.
Yeah. All right. So. Well, in the meantime, give us a website for NOAA for more information.
We're wcr.noaa.nymphs.
Okay.
.gov.
But best thing to do, just Google NOAA or NOAA, and you'll find it.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks, Charles. Thanks
awesome,
for your
Charles.
Time.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening today. Tomorrow, again, Captain Brandon Hayward from the Bite Journal and One Man Charters. Thanks for listening today. Thanks to our buddy Adam there behind the boards and the phones today because Ryan took the day off.
Ryan's out catching yellows.
Yeah. We'll see you tomorrow morning right back here on the Mighty 1090.